On the first Monday after New Year's, Charleston looked like a city that had exhaled too hard. The sky was pale and clean over the Cooper, and the air had that thin January sharpness that made even the palms look temporary. By 8:15, the tourists were mostly gone, the Christmas lights were coming down, and the hospitality people were back at their desks, pretending not to count the weeks until spring weddings, patio weather, and the first real crush of the season. The city was quieter in that particular Charleston way. Never still, exactly, but stripped of performance. A dining room after the guests had left. Claire Rutledge parked in the Jessen Hospitality Group lot behind the office annex on Meeting Street and sat in her car a moment longer than necessary, finishing the second half of a coffee she no longer wanted. Her windshield framed a row of camellias, dark green and overconfident, blooming as if January had nothing to say about it. She checked the time, then her phone, then the school app, then her phone again. Emma's lunch had been packed. Miles had remembered his sneakers for PE. Daniel had left before dawn for a site visit in Mount Pleasant. The mortgage draft had come out on the 2nd. Restaurant Week assets were due by noon. SEWE approvals were stacked like cordwood. Normal. Or close enough to it that she could walk inside and keep being who she had been on Friday. On the 4th floor, Jessen was already awake, in the way large hospitality companies were awake. Quietly frantic, tasteful panic dressed in soft branding and good lighting. The break room smelled like espresso and lemon cleaner. Someone had replaced the holiday arrangement in the lobby with bare branches and a stone vase, which struck Claire as honest to the point of insult. She dropped her bag at her desk, woke her laptop, and the screen filled instantly with the small obligations of other people's coherence. Restaurant Week subject lines, updated reservation links for Sable House, final copy for Harbor Table's Winter Oyster feature. A landing page correction for a chef dinner that had sold out yesterday, but still needed to appear intentionally sold out, not accidentally broken. SEWE partner approvals waiting in a thread so long it had become geological. 2 texts from property managers, 3 Slacks marked urgent. 1 note from Marissa in design asking whether the fox hunt image had legal clearance for the expo materials or if they were still waiting on photographer confirmation. Claire moved through it with the speed of long practice, not rushed exactly, but in constant contact with the next 10 things. She had built a career out of making the scenes disappear. That had always been her gift. Not invention, not charisma, coherence. By 9:13, she had corrected 3 pages of web copy, rerouted an events email, softened the wording on a weather contingency note, and caught a reservation button pointing to last year's Restaurant Week menu. She pinged food and beverage, left a voicemail for a vendor, and rewrote a caption, because the original had used the phrase elevated comfort food, which she would have liked to outlaw citywide if given actual authority. Around her, people returned from holidays wearing their January faces. Less makeup, better posture, new planners, controlled dread. Charleston hospitality and slow season was always 2 things at once. Lull and triage. January was when operators said words like recalibrate and optimize and portfolio, meaning winter had arrived and nobody wanted to say fear. At 9:37, a calendar invite appeared on her screen. Portfolio communication sync, 10 a.m., conference room B, no agenda. She looked at it for a second, then glanced toward the glass office of Paula Hensley, the vice president of brand strategy. But the shade was half drawn, and Paula was not visible. Claire clicked accept and went back to work. Conference room B could mean anything. Renovation messaging, new structure for spring campaigns, budget trimming, a reset on social workflows. January generated meetings the way August generated humidity. The city cooled down and everybody started slicing things. At 9:56, she stood, smoothed her sweater without realizing she was doing it, and carried her notebook into the hall. Conference room B was colder than it needed to be. Paula was there along with someone from HR named Evan, whose last name Claire could never remember because he always seemed to arrive already halfway through an apology. There was a printed folder at the table. She knew before anyone spoke. It was not logic, not deduction, something more primitive than that. The body noticing shape before the mind could bear content. The extra chair, the folder, Evan's face already arranged into careful sorrow, Paula not making eye contact quickly enough. Claire sat down anyway. Paula folded her hands. Claire, thank you for coming in. There it was, the old institutional courtesy, gratitude at the edge of harm. Paula went on speaking, but the words came in pieces at first, detached from consequence. Broader operational reset, aligned with planned capital improvements across several properties. moving toward a leaner, more integrated communications model across the portfolio, consolidating functions. Then the sentence itself emerged whole and sat between them. Your role is being eliminated, effective today.